Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great.
Hi, everybody. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston, third episode. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I'm going to be talking to Marsha Glickman today. She is an artist in the Winter Street Studios within the Sawyer Yards where I am, downstairs. She is a fantastic artist. Her work is totally unique. A lot of mixed media, assemblage. I'm going to get her to explain it to you, but I'm only going to tell you. You need to come check it out. Marsha was originally educated as a clinician and IT professional. You will see that structure and methodical detail in her work. That's a little bleb I stole off her website. Check it out, marshaglickman.com. So hang in there. We're going to get going in just a second. Glickman into the studio. How are you, Marsha?
I'm fantastic. Thank you, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm good. We're hanging in the model stand in my little tent doing our podcast. How's it feel?
It feels like I'm in a cabana outside somewhere on the coast somewhere in Europe.
Beautiful. Wow. That's as good as it gets. That's the best I've heard. That's fantastic. Marsha, I love your work. It's really, really... Let's start at the beginning. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Were you trained as an artist?
No, I never did professional training as an artist. I have taken a few classes here and there and workshops. But someday, maybe before I, pass away, I'll be able to go to art school.
That's a good idea. That's a good goal. That's why I say I'm going to start doing drugs when I'm 80 years old. That's not a good goal. Don't do that. Okay, I'm joking. So, but at some point, you decided you were going to be an artist. So when was that turning point?
Well, I think sometime back in the, around 2005, I entered a show in Galveston. And it was my first show that I was part of a group. And it was really successful. I met a lot of wonderful people. And I thought at that time, yeah, I need to pursue this. But of course, I had another life working with clinical and information systems. So I didn't really focus on it, mainly until I came back from New Jersey back in the, I think it was around 2014. And then that's actually when I got the studio and actually started focusing on doing art seriously.
Now, your medium is, most of it is vintage, correct?
Yes.
And you use the pieces. It's not like you copy them and, you use them. They're valuable in and of themselves. And so I'm wondering, you had to have been collecting for forever.
Well, I do really like to see old papers and old book parts. They say something to me, and they kind of remind me of my childhood when I grew up, because we grew up in a lower middle class family where we did a lot of sharing and bought our clothes at thrift shops. And so, always giving old things a new life or a new purpose has been of interest to me. So I go to a lot of flea markets and thrift shops and garage sales and see things that normally people would be discarding and thinking, oh, this piece of paper or this book part belongs in a piece of art that will bring value to someone in their home or in their office. And my work is not just nice papers pasted on a board, but they also have a theme and a concept behind them, usually a historical or a conceptual idea. And so the pieces have to work. And I've been very fortunate that I was able, and I am able, to construct pieces that work and that resonate with people.
They do. It's really, I have to, I can't, I have to tell people to come into your studio and check it out. Everything, it's like almost like a museum, honestly. That's how I feel, you know. And you walk and you'll see everything. When she talks about concepts, that is probably going to be very evident as soon as you start to study a piece. You'll see all that story in there. You have a great sense of humor as well. Very funny little secrets in the work, which I always love. Can you tell me something that you were a little sneaky about, where you put something in that you knew was going to be funny?
Well, I like to provoke the viewer to see something that resonates with them, because I think art is very personal. So I like to put hidden messages and images in my work that a person may or may not discover until they've had the piece around for a while. However, if someone's interested, and I always am available to tell the story about the piece of art and what's in it and why that particular piece is in there, if someone is interested. Some people just buy art for the visual, and some people buy art for the more deeper meaning. So it really depends upon what the viewer and the buyer of the piece of art wants to get out of it. And I'll go as deep as they want or not as deep.
Yeah.
It's really a personal decision of the viewer.
Can you see who those people are? Do you know who that person is who's looking for that meaningful piece just by checking them out? Or you gotta engage them in a little conversation? Yeah.
Yes, when I start talking to someone and I see someone looking at my art for several minutes, I will let them know that, of course, there's a story behind it, and I'll be happy to share. Some people are very excited and say, "Oh yes, please tell me all about this." And they'll say, "What does this mean? Why is this here? What is this little piece? How does that fit into the big picture?" And I'm happy to explain that. And usually, the people that purchase my art seem to be people that have deep thinking. A lot of professionals, such as physicians and attorneys and very highly educated people. But then there's people that just want to have something that means something to them. When they look at it, they'll see something that resonates with them. And I think that's really what art is about. I personally have collected quite a few pieces of art, and I'm so happy that I did, because I think that buying art, even if the price seems out of reach for some reason, it's a value that you will have with you all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's not like buying a pair of shoes that'll last you 6 months. It's buying something that will be on your wall that you can review and see and share with your friends and family and really, really add happiness to your life.
I couldn't agree more. And owning a piece of art that, I mean, it becomes a part of you. So, Marcia, okay, you are collecting, you're seeing things, and you start to think of your childhood or some concept, and it just blossoms, right?
Absolutely.
And I've been in your studio, and she has these things all kind of not that fixed up yet. Just put everywhere. And then you come back, and it's like, I don't know, elves came in there and rearranged it and made it, like, tell a story. So, beginning steps. Tell me about your steps in a piece.
Well, sometimes I look at what I have, and I see things that seem to meld together to a common story. So I put them together, lay them out, think about it. Think about a concept or a historical event that these papers or old book parts or old objects could represent when they're together with some new pieces, some other things that are not directly related. And then compiling them into a visual piece that is visually interesting as well as colorful, because I do love color. And sometimes people will come to me and say, "Oh, I have my grandmother's passport, and she passed away, and I really want to, I don't know what to do with her papers." And can you do something with them? Yes, I can.
That's a great idea. So you do commission work?
I do. last year I did 4 pieces for this woman who wanted to give Christmas gifts to her brothers. So she gave me a story about each brother and gave me her parents' papers and some pictures and childhood things that meant something to the family that she did not want to destroy or put in a box somewhere in an attic. So she, so I basically took those things and took the information she gave me about her brothers and put some of my own spin on them based on the colors she said that they like, and presented her with the 4 pieces. And when she gave them to her brothers, she said that one of her brothers broke down and cried.
It makes me want to cry right now. It sounds so sweet. It's such a beautiful idea.
Right, and something
I'm going to commission you. That's amazing. That's a wonderful idea.
Right, and of course this is something that they'll have, always to remember their family and something they can pass down to their children.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful idea. I'm serious. I was tearing up. It's beautiful. You know, that's what you want to have, too. You want to have something that moves you, something that touches you. I think people come to art where society or the art world or someone has told them what they're supposed to like. And that's not what it should be. It should be what moves you and what makes you have a feeling towards it.
Yes? Absolutely.
I mean, first your eyes are the first, the first sense, possibly. But, you know, you just sit there and to be able to think about something. You want to be able to look. I like to have art. I collect drawings. I like to have things that I continually think about, like, what does that mean? How does that? And it's always fresh and it's always new. It always changes. I can see your work absolutely representing that for someone because it's so intricate. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, what I like about my art and is that sometimes I've done a piece and I'll look at it again in 6 months and I'll see something totally different that I didn't realize there that was there. And I think this is because my life has changed in 6 months, or things have happened to me that my thinking process is a little bit different, or something else resonates with me based on what's happened in my life in that period of time. So I think that means that piece is really a living piece. It's not just something that will go on your wall and you'll never look at again.
Right. That's right. A living piece. I say paintings are living because they're first organic substances that continue to breathe and, you know. And that's what I always tell people that too. I'm like, paintings are live. It's like a plant, but you don't have to tend to it so much.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So, okay, so you are a thinker, and I was just thinking about what you just said about coming back to a piece and that you yourself had changed. I think, too, when an artist is working, they get in a zone, kind of like a transcendental meditation sort of situation, and you don't even know what is happening. Like, you're in a fugue. And you wake up, and this thing has happened. And maybe you don't see it when you do it. Maybe it takes 6 months. And for you to mature and go through your own personal growth, to come back and to see it, and to be like, oh my God, my consciousness was ahead of my hands kind of thing. Do you agree with some of that?
Yes, I do. And I think, again, that with the color and the intricacy of the different pieces, their age, that could mean so much to someone, or they could mean different things to different people based, again, on their life experiences to this point when they're actually viewing it. So, again, what it might mean to you today could be different from what it means to you in 3 months.
Yeah, that is even it. You got it. I can't tell you anymore. You need to buy art. That's all I can say. On Marsha's website, she was clever enough to put her collectors, Proud Collectors, on her website. Do you want to tell a story about a particular collector maybe that you have featured, or someone else that's maybe not featured that you made a connection with when you sell art to people?
Well, my collectors are wonderful people, and they've become my personal friends in addition to collectors. I love my collectors. Many of the individuals who have purchased art from me have come back and purchased other pieces. So some of my collectors have 3 and 4 pieces of my work. I like to have collectors parties at least once a year, if not twice, to bring my collectors together. And what I really love to do is put a picture of the piece that they purchased on their name tag so that they can talk about why they purchased that piece of art, what
that
it meant to them.
That sounds so fun. Can I be invited to that?
Absolutely.
I'll come become a collector.
Absolutely.
For sure. That's a wonderful idea. You saw your artist out there. You can do the same thing. Appreciate your collectors. Actually, that's what I think they try to do during the holiday season is celebrate our collectors. We'll have a party here during our second Saturday. I forget the date. December 11th, maybe? I don't know. But it is going to be about the collectors for sure. But your thing sounds super, super cool. Like it, really.
Thank you.
You have also lived around the world. That has probably shaped a lot of your ideas and concepts, too. Anything you can speak to about that?
Well, I have lived abroad, and I've also traveled abroad. And I think that it's really interesting that I think everybody should live in another country because it does really make you appreciate what you have here and also makes you think about things that are totally different. There's so many cultures all over the world that are so different. And I think, again, that plays in my art, too, because I understand that if certain things in my art might resonate with a particular person who's had experience in another country or involved with a particular historical event. So, again, I think that having that broad kind of worldly perspective really makes a difference in producing art as well as appreciating art.
That's beautiful. Thank you. You know what I'm thinking about that maybe we should advertise is our breaststrokes event that we participated in.
Absolutely.
Tell us about breaststrokes. Marsha and I both went to paint. It's an organization to bring awareness to breast cancer treatment, prevention, awareness. And it's through the Hadassah, is that right?
Yes, it's through the Hadassah organization, which is a women's group that's all over the world, and they support the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem, Israel, and where they do quite a bit of research and treatment for cancers. So the Breaststrokes Project is focusing on breast cancer. So what Rhonda and I did is we met with other artists, and we painted women's breasts.
Hubba hubba. We had a good time. That was fun. It was really fun. Brave ladies.
Brave women. Some of them actually are breast cancer survivors. And what Hadassah is doing is they are, there's going to be a reveal. It's called the Big Reveal in January at Methodist Hospital here in Houston. And there will be an auction. So all of the original pieces of art will be auctioned off and go toward the hospital in Jerusalem to promote breast cancer and to fund research. There will also be other things to be purchased, such as coffee cups. I don't know all the different little things that they're printing on, but it'll be a wonderful event. So please
raise
check
money for a good cause.
Raise money for a wonderful cause. And so we get closer, please check out my website and Rhonda's website. We'll be putting all the details there so you can come and participate in this really important event.
We were supposed to have what they're calling the big reveal in November or October. Either which way, the hurricane upset Houston and upset this as well. So it will be sometime in January. So I'm really looking forward to it. And
I thank
you so much for getting me involved. It was a hoot, honestly. It was really fun. The participants that were painted on, they were really the major winners, I think. They were brave, first of all. The room was freezing, second of all, even though it was the summertime. And just to be so open and willing to help like that. They were breast cancer survivors, supporters, friends, mothers, etc. I actually painted on a psychologist who helps cope with that illness. And she had a particular patient she was thinking of. She gave me the idea, and I painted it on her breast. So, on her whole chest area. It was cool. Thank you for getting me involved. I appreciate
that. My pleasure.
Yes. Well, listen, I know how to stop an interview because my guests begin to perspire, little glistening perspiration on their forehead, because I can't turn my air conditioner on because it's too loud in our studio here. So we will conclude. I thank you so much, Marcia. You've been a dynamic, wonderful speaker. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. It's been a pleasure.
Good. And remember, everyone, come out on second Saturday, 12 to 5. Stop in Winter Street first. Come tell me hello. I'm in Studio 18. Marcia is in Studio...
A8.
A8. All my sisters with the 8s. visit her downstairs and come up and visit me. Have a glass of wine. Take some art home.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Bye. Bye, guys. Sit down with me on what is sort of an experiment, but I'm trying to make it something that really promotes Sawyer Yards, Winter Street Studios, where I'm located and where I'm committed to being open every second Saturday, and want the art-loving public to come on out and visit us. So thank you, Marcia, for sitting down with me. Remember, second Saturdays every 12 to 5. And also, I will be sending out little reminders on events coming up. Currently, there is a sculpture show. It is Sculpture Month in the Silos site space, which is the actual Silos. Very cool. I have not visited that exhibit yet, but I will get over there today. And I would also like to let you know of something that will be coming up in January called WOW, Women of Winter Street. It's going to be a fantastic show in our gallery, and you will get more info on the dates, and make sure everyone's invited to that party. And again, thank you, Marcia, for coming out to Arts of Houston. See you next time in Ron's Lounge. Take care.